Another year of drought in the region means another hard look at the ways we use water and figuring out how to reduce the use. Lots of people like their fine green lawns, but they do take a lot of water. And if that water is not coming from the sky, it's coming out of a hose, drawing down water supplies. But not all lawns are created equal. An organization called the Turfgrass Water Conservation Alliance points out that some kinds of grass use less water than others. The Alliance and the City of Ashland are joining forces on a project. Jack Carlin is the program administrator for the Turfgrass Water Conservation Alliance. Jack, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Jack, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, there we go. So what exactly is the Turfgrass Water Conservation Alliance?
Well, the Turfgrass Water Conservation Alliance, or TWCA, is an independent nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3, and we qualify grasses that demonstrate statistically significant water efficiencies over conventional varieties of the same species.
And there's a certification involved with this, too?
There's a qualification program. So we have a peer review panel made up of university researchers from University of Arkansas, Purdue University, and Virginia Tech, and they make all of the qualifications based on objective data that we've collected from 14 trials and 13 locations across North America.
Are those schools you mentioned well known for grass seed technology or something?
Yeah, they have very well respected turf programs. So, yes.
All right, so the TWCA, the Turfgrass Water Conservation Alliance, I can see why you call it TWCA. Is it set up by the grass industry? I mean, it's an interesting birth story here.
Well, it was actually founded by four direct competitors in the live goods industry in Oregon. Each one saw a need for water conservation within the industry, and they all realized that they would be much more effective together than they would be as individuals. And so they came together, they started thinking about this in the mid-2000s, and in 2010 they came together as the TWCA, and we've really taken off since then.
And do we call it the grass industry? Do we call it the grass seed industry? It's still very big in Oregon, isn't it?
It is very big, yeah. It's a huge industry in Oregon, and together the TWCA members represent just around 50% of all of the grass seed in Oregon. So I think calling it the grass seed industry is fine now.
All right. So and any idea what the total dollar impact of the grass seed industry in Oregon is from year to year?
I think the last thing I saw was about $240 million.
All right. So almost a quarter of a billion-dollar industry, which is no small deal in Oregon. So obviously there's an interest among people who live in the state of Oregon and work in the state of Oregon at making sure that there's some grass still growing out there. But, you know, in drought years, obviously, the issue becomes a somewhat different set of things. How great a range, Jack, is there in water usage from one kind of grass to the next?
Well, I think when we speak within species, with Kentucky bluegrass is a good, for instance, that's where we've seen the greatest difference in water efficiencies. Some TWCA-qualified varieties have reduced the water need of Kentucky bluegrasses by over 50%. So there's a significant range. That's the difference between, say, 8,000 gallons of water and 16,000 gallons of water needed in a 90-day period. So,
and is that a fairly typical figure, 8,000 to 16,000 gallons of water over a 90-day period?
Yeah, so the TWCA did a trial in 2008-2009. So it ran for 2 years, and we actually quantified the water requirement for a standard 5,000 square foot lawn. We chose 5,000 square feet because that is the average American lawn size. I know it skews a little large, and so we actually quantified the amount of water that was applied to maintain a predetermined level of green cover. And we found about 50% savings. So, yeah, about 8,000 gallons is reasonable.
Okay, I'm glad you gave us the figures. Yeah, 5,000 square feet does skew a little large, but you can figure a 50 by 100 lot minus the house will give you 5,000 square feet. But just think a little bigger in those terms. The what is it that makes it? I mean, what kinds of things had to be done in breeding or changing Kentucky bluegrass to make it need 50% less water?
Well, it really comes down to the genetics. It is all natural crossing block, like super old school technology. It's not there's no GMO work done on it. It's all choosing varieties that demonstrate the trait that you want. In this case, it's water efficiency, and then crossing those. And it takes a really long time. It takes conservatively, it takes about 7 years to develop a variety that has the traits that you want in it, because you have to cross it and increase the seed and then test it again and hope it worked. And if it didn't, you go back through the cycle again. So
you anticipated an obvious question, which is whether there is any GMO in here. And the answer is no, no gene gun, none of the laboratory stuff?
No, no, there's none of that work. There has been some work coming out of a couple of the universities down south that are looking at finding genetic markers, so that way it increases the rate at which you can make your genetic selections, but it is still not genetic manipulation. So it's just looking to identify those genetic traits.
We are talking about grass, and grass that can grow requiring less water, and in a joint project between the Turf Grass Water Conservation Alliance, or TWCA, and the City of Ashland, and probably some other entities as well. Jack Carlin is the program administrator for the TWCA. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions about green lawns and this particular set of circumstances where they're growing varieties that require less water. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned just within Kentucky bluegrass, you now have sub-varieties that can go, use half the water of the traditional kind. When you start looking at other varieties of grass as well, are there some that just sort of start in a more sippy kind of rather than gulpy function?
Oh, yeah. Tall fescue, for instance, is a very water-efficient species, just generally compared to, say, ryegrass or fine fescues or even Kentucky bluegrass. And so tall fescues generally start off being more water-efficient. And again, that's why our program exists, is to find within tall fescues the most water-efficient. And they tend to do very well with heat tolerance as well, so that would be an excellent choice for your area.
Would you get to a point where you're recommending people take out lawns that would use a variety of grass that was using more water and replace it with a lawn that was using less water?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the point is water conservation. And I think if there's a way to find the happy medium between having all of the grass from 30 years ago and having no grass, then that medium is definitely, having the most water-efficient grass you can put in. And so, yeah, I think if that's something that people have the means and the resources to do, then I would absolutely encourage them to do so.
Just in lawn care and maintenance, Jack, and when you're talking things other than watering here, I mean, are there activities like mowing that make any difference in how much water the lawn consumes, if you keep it short, if you leave it tall, anything in those ranges?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Management is a huge factor in water consumption. With mowing, depending on the species, about 3 inches. With tall fescue, 3 inches is a pretty good height for mowing your lawn. And then if you just make sure that you mow when it gets to about 4 inches, so you're not taking off more than a third of your lawn, the longer length will encourage water efficiency, and it encourages deeper rooting, so that contributes to water efficiency as well. And making sure that you're not watering in the middle of the day, making sure you're watering early in the morning, so you lose less water to evaporation, and you don't have so much wind in the morning, so you get a more even watering is also a good management technique. So
we have a call. Let's go to Helga in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jack Carlin from the Turf Grass Water Conservation Alliance.
Hi. I want to talk about also using other kinds of grasses. You did mention mowing high, but I have experimented in my backyard in Ashland with grass that grew pretty high, and it really added to the mulch layer underneath, and there were areas that stayed green even without any watering all summer long. So I don't see why everybody doesn't put big additional big wheels on their lawnmower and mow really high, like 5 inches.
Okay, 5 inches. Yeah. All right, let's take it up with Jack. Thanks for the call, Helga. Appreciate it. Jack, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, mowing high is a great idea. I think for some applications, things like parks and playing fields and common areas where people are going to use that grass, you want to keep that height a little lower, just for functionality. And so 3 inches is a pretty happy medium. But yeah, I think if you can get away with mowing at a tall height, and you don't plan on putting a lot of wear on it or going out there, I think that is an absolutely acceptable management strategy.
All right, so I understand there's this joint project with the City of Ashland and Mountain Meadows that you at the Turf Grass Water Conservation Alliance are getting involved in. Tell us about that.
Well, Mountain Meadows uses a lot of water, and they want to reduce the amount of water that they use. They also want to maintain their large parks. They've got a couple of big parks that they like to use as common areas for events and social gatherings, and they want to maintain those in turf. The City of Ashland water conservation specialist, Julie Smithman, was really instrumental in facilitating this. She saw an opportunity for us to work together, and she started up the initial meetings, and so we're going to come down there, and we are going to pilot putting in some TWCA-qualified turf grass this year so the community can see the quality of the grass and see that it's not a transition away from turf. It's just a transition to more water-efficient turf. And we anticipate transitioning a lot of the park, all of the park grass, into TWCA-qualified turf in 2016. So.
And for the folks who aren't familiar with it, Mountain Meadows is a retirement community or 55-plus age community in Ashland. 226 houses and condos, and I see 66,000 square feet of lawn. That's a lot of grass.
Yeah. Well, and I should clarify, I should correct myself here. They have been very active in the landscape transition program that Julie set up through the City of Ashland, and so their parkways, they've transitioned a bunch of their parkways to more water-efficient landscaping, and they're transitioning a bunch of their front and backyards to that same kind of landscaping. But what we're really going to focus on is their common areas. But yeah, it's still a ton of grass.
Absolutely. Julie Smitherman has been a guest of the Jefferson Exchange several times to talk about water conservation measures within the City of Ashland, which have been in place for quite some time now. And there is always the chance in a season that has been or is figuring to be as dry as this summer could be, that there will be some voluntary reductions leading to perhaps mandatory reductions in water usage, not just in Ashland, but in lots of other drought-sensitive communities. Has the grass replacement gone on already at Mountain Meadows in Ashland?
No, we're actually going to be coming down there on the 20th. I'll be coming down to seed in all of that new lawn. Baumgartner is the landscape. Bill Baumgartner has done all of the site preparation, or is doing all of the site preparation for us. So that is a huge help. Good site preparation is crucial to be able to establish a good standalone. And I really appreciate all of the work that he's done there. So
was the existing turf pulled out at Mountain Meadows preparatory to this, or will it be by the time you start seeding over?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're gonna pull out the some of the existing turf. In I think it's about 2,000 square feet of existing turf, and we're going to seed in TWCA qualified grasses and then let it establish. Now, it will require a little more water during establishment, the same as any plant that you would put in, but as a mature stand, it will require much less water.
So when you say TWCA qualified, I know we talked about what that means earlier. I'm just curious to know what percentage, if you know, that there is of the grasses that exist out there that have reached the point of TWCA qualification.
You know, that's an excellent question. It's one that I don't have an answer to. The sort of off-the-cuff answer is not many.
So not a huge percentage at this point is your initial take on it.
No, I think we have about 60 varieties that have made TWCA qualification, all told, of all of the grass varieties that there are on the market today. So,
generally in demand, I would think, on the West Coast, where particularly with California and 38 million people in a severe drought, that there'd be a lot of demand for this sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, about a quarter of our members do come out of California, and we are very, very active in the state of California. We're very concerned about what's happening there and looking at ways that we can help the state reduce their water use.
All right. I know a lot of places they're talking about just drought-tolerant landscapes where there just won't be any grass at all. But, again, you're looking for the middle ground between green, water-intensive grass and no grass at all.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, if you have kids or you have dogs, like, it is a really reasonable thing to have. It's a good ground cover, and it's playable, and it's trafficable, and it's easy on little dog paws and little kids' feet. So it's a good thing to have. And while we may not be putting turf wall to wall, and certainly we don't advocate that, there are applications that people are going to have turf grass in, and we just want them to make the best choice that they can.
All right. We'll keep an eye on what goes on with the Mountain Meadows Demonstration Project in Ashland and keep in touch with Julie Smitherman, the water conservation person for the city of Ashland, as this project moves forward. Jack Carlin is the program administrator for the Turf Grass Water Conservation Alliance. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, pleasure to have you here.